The failure of drug war is glaringly obvious to judges, cops, wardens, prosecutors, and millions more now calling for decriminalization, legalization, the end of prohibition. Let us investigate the century of lies.
Hello, and welcome to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh, editor of drugwarfacts.org. The European School Survey Project on Alcohol and Other Drugs, ESPAD for short, is a collaborative effort of research teams in more than 40 European countries and the largest cross-national research project on adolescent substance use in the world. The overall aim of the project is to repeatedly collect comparable data on substance use among 15 and 16-year-old students in as many European countries as possible. Prior to this report's release, the most recent ESPAD report had been issued in 2016. This is a major piece of research, and to underscore, they're comparable data. So often, differences in methodology between reporting instruments mean that you can't really make the direct comparisons that people always end up making. That's why the ESPAD report is so exciting and so very important. Now, the report itself you can find at ESPAD.org. It appears that the release event has not yet been posted to the web, so that's why I stay up overnight to record these things. It's important to have this in the public record. So let's get started. First up, here's the director of the European Monitoring Center on Drugs and Drug Addiction, Alexis Gustiel.
Thank you very much, Marika. Good morning, everybody. I'm very happy to welcome all of you for this new edition of the EMCDDA webinar. As you know, this is one of the innovations that the EMCDDA has been pushing forward in the context of the coronavirus. And I'm very pleased to see that every time we organize a new webinar, we have an increasing number of participants. Of course, this webinar today is very special and of special interest, because that's already the seventh edition of the ESPAD report, so it's extremely interesting and important time and report for all of us. I would like first to thank all the ESPAD researchers and the EMCDDA staff who have been making possible not only the report but the launch and the implementation of the surveys in all the countries that have been participating. We have 35 European countries that have been participating, including 25 EU member states. So you see that we are only missing a few European member states to be able to have a comprehensive picture. I think it's worth to highlight and also to congratulate all the ESPAD researchers, but also people in the schools and all those who have been involved in making this work possible. I have also a special thank that I had the privilege to address in person earlier this week to the National Research Center of Italy, because they are providing an extremely important support to ESPAD. And finally, I would like also to thank Sabrina Molinaro, who's the coordinator of ESPAD, because she's the one from the ESPAD side in charge of living with the European House and Family with EMCDDA. And we are very, very happy that since 2013, upon request from Sweden government, but also all EU member states and the European institutions, we have been asked to provide support and to strengthen the cooperation with ESPAD. So we have a lot of interesting information. I think some of the findings that will be shared with you today are also bringing new and future questions for research for the coming years. And I would like also to thank Annemie, Elina, Fabrizio and Michele, who are going to share their experience and share their points of view. I think it's a fantastic cooperative and collaborative effort, and I'm sure that this meeting will be of high interest for all of us. And my last point is a question. I will come back to this just at the end of this meeting. We are preparing the next campaign of webinars for next year. So if there are any suggestions through the survey, but also through email that you would like to send to us. You can send them to Marika, who's responsible for the webinars at EMCDD. You can also send to me if you want, because we are going in the coming weeks to prepare the calendar and the agenda of content for next year. And this is a top-level priority for us and for me as director, because it illustrates the partly a new step in the way we disseminate the information, in which more than ever we act as a hub for not only for information, but for informing practitioners and decision makers. And therefore, it's extremely important for me that it's not only EMCDDA speaking, but the people who are working with us. So I'm very happy and proud to give the floor to the other colleagues. Thank you very much.
That was Alexis Gustiel, director of the EU's drugs agency, the European Monitoring Center on Drugs and Drug Addiction. He was speaking at the release of a new report from the European School Survey Project on Alcohol and Other Drugs, ESPAD for short. You're listening to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh, editor of drugwarfacts.org. Now let's hear from Julian Vicente with the EMCDDA. He's speaking on the release of the new report on drug use by students in the European Union that was just issued by ESPAD, the European School Survey Project on Alcohol and Other Drugs.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to this webinar. As Marika said, I have the very interesting experience to be for 7 or 8 years the liaison, the contact person between ESPAD project and the EMCDDA. Has been very interesting and sometimes challenging, but very, very, I think, very helpful way to make the link. And then I will pass the floor to Dr. Molinaro, Sabrina Molinaro, that she is the ESPAD coordinator working at the CNR in Italy. And her team has played a really great job in putting together the coordination and the production of the report of this new round of ESPAD data collection. So Sabrina, the floor is yours, and we are looking forward to hear of your results.
That was Julian Vicente. He was speaking at the release of a new report from the European School Survey Project on Alcohol and Other Drugs, ESPAD for short. You're listening to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh, editor of drugwarfacts.org. Let's hear now from Dr. Sabrina Molinaro. She's coordinator of ESPAD.
Regarding in this ESPAD report, we put for the first time all over the Europe a screening test for the high-risk cannabis use. And for using this CAST scale, 4% of students fell into the category of high-risk cannabis users. Also here, there is a big difference. There are big differences between countries in Europe, as you can see from the map. Let me come back a little bit to other illicit drugs that are lower user in used in Europe. On average, 1.2% of students have ever used an illicit drug other than cannabis at least once. The much more used are ecstasy or LSD or cocaine and then methamphetamine, and go ahead as you can see. So what's the lesson learned from cannabis and other illicit drugs? First of all indicators are substantially higher than in 1995. And the perceived viability does not seem to be automatically related in when we talk about cannabis to the cannabis use and to the problematic use of cannabis. But we know from the literature and from scientists that there are new forms of cannabis that are much more potent than in the past. And even in the countries where the prevalence of use underwent a limited change, the potential health risk for adolescents may have changed. Let's move quickly to new psychoactive substances. And 3.4% of students had tried NPS during their lifetime, 2.5% during the last 12 months. Although the data are not fully comparable with 2015, the picture we found was very similar. And we also look for specific substances, and we found that synthetic cannabinoids are the rate is 3% and catinones is 1%. The lesson learned from the new psychoactive substance is that the prevalence has a higher level of use than for amphetamine, ecstasy, cocaine, LSD, etc. And most NPS users are, in fact, also polysubstance users. In fact, the NPS use should not be viewed as an isolated specific phenomenon. And actually, there is still a lack of information regarding these kind of substances. And we accept the challenge in ESPAD, and we start toward look at the chemical group instead to consider this consumption as at all. Let me give you also some information regarding the pharmaceutical use for non-medical purpose, because I think it's something very important. I will show you that the prevalence of this kind of substance is very high, and the pattern is very different from all the other substances. In fact, 9.2% of students reported lifetime use of pharmaceutical for not medical purpose. And as you can see from the graph here, the prevalence, the female prevalence is higher than the male one. So that means that there is a different pattern of use for this kind of substances. The most user used were tranquilizers or sedatives, and then followed by painkillers to get height, and just 1% report the use of anabolic steroid. So regarding the use of pharmaceutical for not medical purposes, we know that this is considered as globally as a major emerging problem that need to be monitored. And ESPAD showed that also in Europe, we need to pay attention to this kind of use. Because students may misuse pharmaceutical for a range of reasons, because they induce euphoria, or because they enhance the effects of alcohol or other drugs, or for self-medicate themselves or for mitigate the symptoms of withdrawal. And also the problem, there is a paradox in research world, that is that some adolescents can think that they are safer than illicit drug, and that could be another level of problem. Let me give you only two slides regarding the early onset and the availability of substances. As you can see, alcohol and e-cigarette and heavy episodic drinking of alcohol start to be used, consumed very early. A lot of students refer that, one student in three refer, they start to use alcohol when they was 13 or younger. The same for e-cigarette and intoxication of alcohol. But also 2.4% of students report they started, they have first used cannabis at the age of 13 or younger. That's something else that need to be monitored. Regarding the perceived availability, as you can imagine, alcohol, cigarettes are the much more viable and readily available for students. But we also want to put a finger that one-third of ESPAD students consider it easy and very easy to find cannabis. Let's move to the behavioral part of ESPAD. We insert a part regarding gambling, gaming, and internet use in 2015, and we learned that was very important to look at this type of behavior. Regarding the gambling, 22% of adolescents in Europe reported gambling for money at least one game in the last 12 months. So it's very high, the prevalence of who reported this kind of behavior. And only 8% report online gambling. That means that the majority used to gamble physically. And the game much more played are lotteries, comprehending scratch, and betting, card of dice, and slot machine. We also put a scale for the problematic gambling in our questionnaire, and 5% of students who gambled in the last 12 months match with the criteria for a problematic gambling. So it's pretty high also the percentage of students with a problematic profile.
That was Dr. Sabrina Molinaro, SBAD coordinator. She was speaking at a news conference on the release of the new SBAD report. The previous report was released in 2016. This is a massive effort to gather and report comparable survey data on substance use by students 15 and 16 years of age in nations throughout the European Union. You can find the report at sbad.org. You're listening to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. Elina Kortavirta is a ministerial advisor in Finland's Ministry of Social Affairs and Health. She was one of the speakers at the release of this new SBAD report.
Thank you very much, Julian, and greetings to you all, to listeners all around Europe and all around the world. Good morning, good day, good evening, good afternoon, whatever the time of day of time it is for you. And thank you very much for the invitation, and let me add my voices to congratulate all of you that you've been working with SBAD. Whether nationally or other ways around Europe, we really find it really, really valuable. SBAD is really like no other tool because it's comparable data like no other. And of course, we do also gather national data. But of course, all the national data, how well we do it, how quality, high quality it is, it never is as comparable as it is when it's done similarly around the Europe. So therefore also SBAD has been very, very valuable to us. And also it is, of course, very good to have different sources of information. For example, we do have also national school surveys, for example, and then we also compare those also to the SBAD data. So we see that if we are if the trends are similar, we know that we are doing something right. If the trends would be different in different surveys, we would of course have to check what is, you know, maybe we're not doing something or our researchers are doing all the things right. But of course, it's good to have comparable data from different sources. And of course, again, great many thanks for all the national experts, because really SBAD is something what we use, what I use as I work in the Ministry of Social Affairs and Health as a ministerial advisor. And for example, I'm working with the legislative state changes, but also briefing our ministers. And this information, and of course, not just the information, the report, but of course, personal contact with our SBAD personnel and all the researchers have been very, very valuable for us when we provide the data for our ministers and have this also not just, you know, something you read, SBAD, not just something you read from the paper, but something that also we have a communication with the researchers, we get the help, we get some more understanding, and that's kind of really, really valuable if we take the whole SBAD community. And then your question about cigarettes and e-cigarettes and smoking, I think that is a very good example also of how this data can be used. Of course, we can see there that, for example, the situation varies in different parts of Europe. From the Finnish point of view, we don't see such an increase in the e-cigarette side. Of course, there's some trends have been there, but we see it as such that it is possible to reduce smoking without the transition to e-cigarettes. We think we see there that there is, you know, we don't have to forget all the prevention or think that, okay, if we prevent cigarette use, then, you know, everybody will just use e-cigarettes. That doesn't seem to be the case, you know. Of course, e-cigarettes are more there. We have the trend, we have the industry, we have all the innovations, we have advertisements, like, and of course, all these different ways the industry tries to get around our laws. So therefore, also when reading SBAD, seeing the trends also around Europe, when we need to be smarter when writing laws, so that we can face the current situation and also be already kind of seeing these new innovations and their possible impact and tackle them already in our legislations beforehand and try to think what kind of new innovations might come. And I think that is also where we need the comparable data and where we need the data if we think about, for example, cigarettes and e-cigarettes. And this is, of course, I think, due to also availability. We can compare the situation in different EU countries with legislation, with availability of cigarettes, of e-cigarettes, but not just that, of course, from Finnish point of view, also alcohol is very important and how we have gotten the decrease in the alcohol, for example. We have done a lot of work with the reducing availability with, for example, underage kids, so and also in smoking. So definitely, ESPAD for us, for me in my work, for us here is very, very useful. And I am truly grateful of all the good quality job you're doing around Europe. Thank you very much.
That was Elina Kortaverta, Ministerial Advisor in Finland's Ministry of Social Affairs and Health. She was speaking at the release of the new ESPAD report on substance use and other behaviors among students in more than 40 European Union member nations. Dr. Anna Mekoon is from Ghent University in Belgium.
Okay, thank you very much. Thanks for inviting us as well. And I also want to say, like Elena said, thanks for the great work you do with all those data and the partners you work with together. It's just a wonderful job, and it's very important for us also as a institute, as a university college, to work with this materials. So I want to start with your first question about how do we use this data, this ESPAD data. So we also work as a university college. We also work with the Unplugged, the school-based prevention program. And we ask the Unplugged centers, like for us here in Belgium, Trampoline or the Sleutel, to forward those ESPAD data to Unplugged teachers. And those Unplugged teachers, they work with pupils age 13. And we ask them to compare the data, to compare the normative beliefs. So at first, the normative beliefs, how much do you think of 15 or 16 years old uses regarding cannabis or smoking, being drunk? And then we ask them to compare those normative beliefs with the actual facts, the data. So therefore, we use those ESPAD data. And we do this in a standard lesson, and this lesson calls reality check. So it's very important there that the pupils, they actually get to know the percentage of young users. So that's the first example of how we use this data. So, of course, all relevant expertise center on alcohol and other substances, like, for example, VAD, it's the Flemish center here in Belgium, also the FEDITO, that's for the French-speaking part of Belgium, they use those data, they publish the data, the results on websites, and they also refer to it. So DOPS, like decision maker, opinion maker, policy makers, implementers, prevention workers, etc., they all can use those data. So it's very important for them. In our own university college, we also use the data that's very useful, of course, in our subjects like prevention, public health, and yes, for to use epidemiology, normative belief exercises, etc. So therefore, those data also make a huge sense to us. Also thinking about prevention organization, they can use the data to estimate the risk of target groups, to really determine on what will we focus on substances. For example, like you said, the cannabis users that are at risk. So they really, with those data, they really can put focuses in the work they are doing. And like I said before, and this is also very important to show misperceptions of young people on high prevalences of youngsters being drunk or smoking cannabis or using other drugs. And then we can show these estimations, which are most of the time much more higher, and then let them see the data, the real data on the SPAT. So this is very important for us to use it in this way. And then just to focus on the question you asked about the cannabis use, I think at first, well, it's important that we are aware, of course, of this existence of this high-risk cannabis users. And if we are aware of this, and this is why these data are so important for us, if we are aware of this, we have to try to detect those adolescents who are at risk. And for this, it's very important for us as implementers to stay in contact with mediators, mediators like teachers, like social workers, youth workers, sport coaches, etc., educators. But what we see is, what we notice as well, at the social workers who work in youth or welfare, for example, that they are rather reticent to screen those adolescents and label them at high risk. But we think this is necessary. It's also useful, especially when we meet those youngsters in early interventions. Then it's necessary also to point out that, for example, they have a high risk. And therefore, we think it's also necessary to label some youngsters with this, their being at high risk. So, of course, we have to inform them a lot. And we also have to look for a way out together with them. How do we get out of this? And so let's hope that knowing from the data that we have, that this high-risk users, that we can reach them at first and then, of course, work with them in this, for example, early interventions. But at the beginning of this is to know about this and to have this important data on what you what you foresee with this great job assessment. So thank you.
That was Dr. Anna-May Kuhn from Ghent University in Belgium. She was speaking at the release of the new report by ESPAD, the European School Survey Project on Alcohol and Other Drugs. They were reporting on substance use and other behaviors among students in more than 40 European Union member nations. And that's it for this week. Thank you for joining us. You have been listening to Century of Lies. We're a production of the Drug Truth Network for the Pacifica Foundation Radio Network on the web at drugtruth.net. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh, editor of DrugWarFacts.org.
How do you think he does it? I don't know. What makes him so good?
The executive producer of the Drug Truth Network is Dean Becker. Be sure to check out Dean's new video project, Claiming the Moral High Ground. Find links at DrugTruth.net or search for Becker's Buds and Claiming the Moral High Ground on YouTube. Drug Truth Network programs are available by podcast. The URLs to subscribe are also on the network homepage, drugtruth.net. The Drug Truth Network has a Facebook page. Please give it a like. Drug War Facts is on Facebook, too. Give its page a like. Share it with friends. Remember, knowledge is power. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Doug McVeigh and, of course, also at Drug Policy Facts. We'll be back in a week with 30 more minutes of news and information about drug policy reform and the failed war on drugs. For now, this is Doug McVeigh saying so long. So long! For the Drug Truth Network, this is Doug McVeigh asking you to examine our policy of drug prohibition, the century of lies. Drug Truth Network programs archived at the James A. Baker III Institute for Public Policy.